Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, and how are you? If you want to give a call in here, please do so. We'll answer any questions you want, giving out free readings for the next 2 hours. So give us a call at 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. That's good. One more time, just make sure you guys got it. 646-721-9031. Also, we want to give a nice little shout out to them here in Manitou Springs, Miramont Castle Museum. Go check it out. It's up on 9 Capitol Hill Avenue, which is right off of Ruxton Avenue, going up toward the Congre Road. If you want to give them a call, set them an appointment before you show up, please do so at 719-685-1011 or call them. I think it's 800 number is 1-800. Actually, no, it's not. It's 1-888-685-1011. So go check them out. Also, there's a lady who works there. I had the book right here too. What did I do with it? Here we go. There's a lady, a really nice lady, works there. Her name is Margaret Johnson, and she wrote this book called "Calling All Children: The Seven Magical Tooth Fairies." check this book out. It's a really good book. It's actually based on information and stuff that she found in the Bible to back up what she's talking about in this book. So give it a shot. Margaret Johnson. The book is called Calling All Children, The Seven Magical Tooth Fairies. So just go check it out. It's a good book. I started reading it myself, and it's very interesting, so therefore check it out. And the Miramont Castle, very fantastic place if you want to go check out some things that go bump in the night. They got a lot of things to go bump in the night. It's a really cool place to check out. And it's got a friendly atmosphere. People are nice. The other ladies, Margaret, is fantastic, too. You know, when you walk in, it makes you feel right at home, so therefore you feel like you live there. So give it a check out. Also, we have a thing. I was trying to find information, too. We have this thing about HemiSync CDs, and I want to get the information out, and I lost the information. I have the website, but I was also looking for, here it is. That's not it either. It's under my chair. Don't you love that one? All right. Okay, we got the information here. Whew. All right. This is called HemiSync. And what you need to do is go on the web, yeah, of course, and go to www.hemi-sync.com, or you can call them at 1-800-541-2488, or you can call them straight through at 234-263-8692. Let's go with those numbers one more time. Call them at 1-800-541-2488, or call them straight through at 434-263-8692. HemiSync is not a new technology. It's been around for a while, but what it does is the music, it's like some MMO CDs, except for it has a tone underneath the music. And when your brain hears it, it actually helps both hemispheres of your brain to work together for intense focus and concentration, where therefore you can actually use your abilities to overcome issues, anything you can think about. It has a title out there. You can actually find them and find a balance within yourself and correct it. So check it out. If you go to the website, you also notice you can also download downloads too as well. So you can actually download it to your computer and use it right away instead of waiting for CDs to come on. But if you want to buy the CDs, they got some great specials where you can get three. If you buy three CDs, the fourth one's free. Also, we have a company called BrainSync. And that company is www.brainsync.com. This is a subliminal CDs company, and the technology has changed a whole lot since the 70s, so check it out. Give them a call at 1-800-444-SYNC. Again, that's 1-800-444-7962. Also, you can call straight through at 544-488-7870. All right, and I also do private readings myself, so if you want to sit there and contact me for a private reading, just call me at 740-500-8863, or contact me through Skype at 740-601-9835, or contact me through my Skype name, which is in small letters, Donald, D-O-N-A-L-D dot Reed, R-E-E-D, 8. And you can also contact me through my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Okay, so we got those out there and everything going, but like I said before, we're doing readings here for the next 2 hours, so give us a call at 646-721-9031. We also have April with us today, too. Hello, April. How are you?
April? I'm great, as usual.
That's good. I always give my information out to do readings and that kind of stuff for the private things that I do. And I forgot to set your mention that we actually have a special going on right now for $33 for a 35-minute reading. And also, April does readings, too, as well, and she does her little thing. So, April, why don't you just give them some information so they can contact you, too, as well?
I do clairvoyant readings, and I also use tarot cards. I can be reached on my website, which is www.aprilangelmedium.yolasite.com, or by my cell phone, which is 919-600-1904.
All right. I think Dee's here, too. Okay, let me click on that again. And? All right, Dee, she's on the air with us, too. Hey, Dee, how's it going? How are you? What's up?
What's up? Let's see. My computer is down to I can't even get online to do anything because the little arrow just sticks there. drives me
really?
Nuts. Yeah, it started out this morning, and there were things I wanted to do today, and now I can't do them. So I'll call my friend Glenn later and make him check my emails for me. Well, he's
so,
always good. And besides that, I got to check eBay, too, so he'll do it for me.
Okay, so people are able to contact you for readings and jewelry, too, as well?
Right, yeah, you can contact me at 207-374-5072. For an hour's worth of my time, that would be a suggested donation of $60, but I will work with your budget, try to get back to you within 24 to 48 hours. And as far as emailing me goes right now, if the computer stays the way it is, that's a little impossible, but we'll shoot for it anyway. And that's spiritwindsandmessenger@hotmail.com. If you're interested in jewelry, my jewelry is made with good stone beads like moss agate and amethyst, turquoise, freshwater pearls, all kinds of good stones, and I use stone pendants, sterling silver pendants, and good silver for beads and pendants and whatnot from the Hill Tribe Silver in Thailand. Contact me, and I will see about getting you some pictures. We can talk about, you know, what you're interested in, length and all that sort of thing. We'll talk about if you're interested in some chakra jewelry, since I'm going to be getting into doing that. So give me a shout, and we'll see what we can do.
Okay.
And I take PayPal, if I didn't mention that before.
That's great. And it's one of those things that, you know, I would sit there and look at the situation of chakra jewelry as something you should really look into, the idea of some people just need some visuals to focus on balance within themselves and that kind of stuff. And
right.
Also, I forgot to mention that to give a shout-out to our sponsor, which is Richard Palenga, who has a website out there called DivineBodyWash.com, so just check it out. He's got spiritual and natural products, body wash, body medicine, that kind of stuff. So go check him out. It's great. I've checked them out myself. So if you want to take advantage of it, maybe actually get a chance to use the products, just donate $25 to the show, and he'll give you a bottle of body wash. If you donate $35 or more, he will also give you a bottle of body mist to go with that. So give it, you know, you will also be a person who will also be helping us to maintain and be a part of the message that we keep giving out with each show. So consider that too. And if you want to go the next step over and become a sponsor for this show, it's a simple $40 fee monthly. And you can be a part of the sponsoring the show, and we can also promote you and your services and your products. So, you know, it's one of the things that works out for everybody else. And I think we're all looking for a win-win situation. So give me a call at 740-500-8863. And right now, like I said before, I've got specials in April. I got April specials across the board. So if you want to do some parties and do some group readings, counseling, relationship counseling, life coaching, whatever it is, the idea of getting yourself more into spirituality and the idea of finding out where it's based on, because we all know what the source is, don't we, April? The source is, and she's like,
God.
Yeah, very good. God is the source. God is your source, your substance, and your supply. So therefore, think about it for right now, okay, guys? Not a job, not money. Those are just worldly things. You got to take it a little step above that whole thing. As I've always said, in the process, the idea, once you want to sit there and be in a position to attract everything to you, everything and everyone, I guarantee you the key component is God and love. So when you put those two together, what do you get? You. So therefore, I am. I am is God. So I just want to put it out there and say, okay, guys, if you're having problems, maybe you have an indigestion problem, something like that. You know, I don't think God and the angels are above anything. So let's put it all together and go, boom, love unconditionally. And I guarantee if you do that, the one thing you'll never do is break the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments is actually based on a spiritual concept. You know, thou shalt not steal. It has nothing to do with cars, houses, or money. What it has to do is, like, we've had relationships with people out there latching on to people because of their own insecurities about money. Women, hello. You are stealing a man's license. So therefore, you're breaking the Ten Commandments. If you are a person that's, you know, just, I think there's so many things on there you could just do unconditionally if people would just allow them to happen. And it's amazing that thou shalt not steal. And the one that I keep getting the most, shall not lie. But the biggest thing it seems like the people have the biggest problem with is lying to themselves. So therefore, they lie to everybody else. So when you sit there and look at the situation of people talking about being selfless, I think you have to watch out for those people, because I don't know what they're up to. But people who give of themselves know who they are in the process of giving to people who are not as fortunate as they are. That's the key, okay? It's not the idea of kicking yourself in the head and throwing yourself in poverty either. You don't have to stay right there. You know, God more than likely has a plan for you with the idea of being abundant and prosperous. Has anybody ever read in the Bible where it says, thou shalt be struggling and have no money? I never read that anywhere. It says, be abundant and prosperous. So therefore, in the process of being abundant and prosperous, I mean, you have to listen to yourself because God's always talking to you. He's always speaking to you through your intuition and through your ability. So we all have it. It's just some people have a tendency to take it one step further to help other people to also realize what they have too as well, to start hearing God again. Because once you do that, I know for a fact, when I listen to guidance, my life always gets better. I mean, I'm living in a great place now. I have a great girlfriend.
Yay, thank you.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's one of those things that sitting down and talking to people, because people don't realize, when I had my first shop, I used to have people come in there all the time, and it was nothing but debating on the idea of God and what we were doing and that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there going, if you ever heard my show, it comes up more than once, and it comes up more than twice, okay? So we all know what the substance and what the source is, so therefore I want you to trust that, and it'd be fantastic. So, if you want to give a call in here at 646-721-9031, it'd be great. Give us something to do. So, let's look at the situation, guys, and your own philosophies. How about you, April? I mean, what is your philosophy about the whole thing? I mean, do you know what the source is? I mean, what is the one thing that's working with you in your co-creation of your life? And I guess you like crickets. Yeah. Take a deep breath, April. People out there really want to know what you got to say.
Okay. Well, I was reading a book by Deborah Lynn Katz, and she was talking about destroying and creating. A lot of people are afraid to get rid of things that aren't serving them anymore, but that's the best way to create new things in your life. And she gave an exercise in her book where you just visualize an object in your head and then you just watch it explode. And then you visualize the same object over again and then you watch it explode. And you just have to have faith that when you destroy something, that it's easy for something else to take its place. Like you put gas in your car, so that's creating it. And then when you run out of gas, you destroyed it. And things are created and destroyed all the time. But the process gives you more faith in yourself, and it helps you to reach your destiny faster if you can let go and be comfortable with destroying relationships that aren't serving you anymore, or friendships that aren't serving you anymore. Old jobs. A lot of people think, well, I should keep my job that I have now, and I should find a new job before I get rid of my present job. But if you have faith and if you're good at the destroying and creating visualizations, then you know that if you get rid of your old job that's not serving you, that there's going to be another one that comes right around the corner. Just have faith.
Did she also say anything about in that book, too, about in the process of we destroying the connection with these things, we're also clearing a space out so the new can come into it, so it has a place to park, has a place to come into. Because when we talk about baggage, the reason it's so important to get rid of baggage is because it occupies a space. Go ahead. I can feel your anticipation. I mean, in the book, she talks about destroying and creation, but when you sit there and look at life itself, right? When one thing is taken out, it doesn't die. It has a tendency to evolve or take on a different form. It's like with your life, okay? Well, not your particular life. I'm just saying life in general, okay? When you're in a relationship that was bad for you, when you let go of that relationship, what I mean by progression is you keep going forward. By letting go of that whole thing, you didn't die. But you let go of something that wasn't working for you. So there was a kind of a death of letting that go in your life. Well, we do a lot of things with people pass on. When we come to a point in our lives where we let it go, we grow as a person.
And then the people who we let go also grow as a result.
Yeah, because death is death is transition from going from physical to spiritual completely. Right? She's thinking.
Yeah, death is an amazing thing. I've never looked at it badly. It's a transformation, a metamorphosis.
Yeah, because we were sitting there looking at the whole thing too, right? And people would look at the idea of what happens and the positive when death happens too as well. There's always something to be learned. And there's always a growing period for ourselves. And if it's just the idea that we saw a person crash the car and we start driving better, there's still something that changes. There's something positive that came out of that. And there always is something. Even with suicides, there's always something that comes out of those things because of what happened to the person or whatever brought them down that path. If people start looking at their own lives and reexamining themselves and coming up with a different, they're just getting to know themselves better to just say, okay, could that happen to me? Because, you know, sometimes when you talk to people in the situations of suicide and that kind of stuff, they always say, the one thing I get tired of hearing all the time was how sad. And everybody wants to focus on the sad part of the whole thing because the person basically died. But, you know, when you sit here and look at the situation of death itself, it's like, it's amazing how we all sit here and talk about death. We never sit here and really go back on Jesus' life, who actually experienced death too, but also experienced a rebirth. And when you look at people's lives of shedding the old life in favor of the new, it's a rebirth all around for everyone. So therefore, if you look at Jesus' life, it's a great example of manifestation because we're always trying to go from one, something we don't like or don't want to be no more, in the process of going forward. When you see a suicide, there's a lot of people who have a tendency to actually reexamine their own lives and go in different directions and grow as people too. We can't always look at the person that did what they did because we don't know what happened on the other side. And if we did, I think it's just one of those things that bring to the forefront that life goes on, no matter how anybody passed on. Go ahead. Come on.
I don't see how suicide's an example of destroying and creating or clearing space.
Okay, when someone commits suicide, somebody says, my life needs to be reexamined, and they grow as a person. The suicide, you can look at as a person wasting their time, or their life is over, that they'll never go anywhere and it like that. I'm talking about the people who are still alive. What do they go through in the process of losing somebody? Any death can be looked at as something positive. For example, we had somebody who committed suicide in their lives too, but it was amazing how many people sit and looked at what that person had done to themselves in the process of what they were going to change in their own lives. So that death was motivation for them to think outside the box, to stop what they were doing to themselves. Because a lot of people who commit suicide, sometimes they don't commit suicide. They just have done substance abuse as one of them, overdosing. Some people think overdosing is suicidal because they did something to themselves. When it was just the idea of one's life getting out of control and no balance, no nothing going on to the point where the ending result was the physical body died. Okay? But there's people around him that were doing the same thing, woke up and said, ooh, you know, this is not something that I want to happen to me. So they changed because of that person. You look in the Bible says everything happens for a reason. If you learn from it, you grow as a person. If you don't learn from it, you're doomed to repeat it over and over again. So we can't sit there and take one out just because that person's death didn't happen the way it was supposed to happen in the first place. We don't know that there wasn't a purpose for the whole situation the way it unfolded, because it did happen. And that's one thing we can't not sit there and dispute. people could die in car accidents all the time. Could they have been avoided? I think so. In some ways, they could have. But you have to ask yourself of situations of people who put themselves into situations. I've seen people get hit on the highway. I've seen people be in situations where you're sitting there looking at them later on and going, you know something? How could they do that? I went down the same stretch of highway. How could you not see a truck who hit you? How come you not, couldn't have seen it? Because you could have seen 5 miles away. It happened for a reason, Mrs. I'm rolling my eyes.
I was just having a hard time talking about suicide. I was having a physical reaction from it in my stomach. I just felt like my heart dropped to my stomach and I couldn't breathe. And I just felt sad and like crying all of a sudden.
What do you think that happened? Have you ever experienced it?
I maybe just channeling the pain of family members of suicide victims, or maybe what the victims are feeling before they decide to end their life, and the regret that they feel after they do it.
The regret they feel after they do it. You mean the people who actually committed suicide?
They realize that their life was going to get better, but it's too late now.
Yeah, we've had a couple of situations where I've actually done readings for people who wanted to kill themselves, and one particular woman did. As I was talking to her on the phone, she had taken a shot of morphine before she even called me. And basically, I guess she would sit there and say she expired there as I was talking to her. And it's kind of one of those things, you know, you feel a sense of a person pulling away as they're leaving this world into another one. But you're right. It was one guy called me up and said, hey, you know something? I'm going to kill myself because this girl left me. And I'm sitting there going, what do you want to do that for? And he goes, why? I said, well, I gave you a nice prediction. She's coming back. But guess what? You're dead. And the guy goes, I never thought about that. I said, yeah, think about everything before you do something. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to find a permanent solution to a temporary problem. It's only going to be going on for a period of time. It's going to be gone. You're going to get through it, transition. Happens all the time with the situation. But I think a lot of people get mad, especially if you talk to people that in the spiritual realm here, where they talk about people actually making contracts with people and our guides and angels and God to come here to experience certain things to grow spiritually. And the idea of suicide is like smacking someone in the face and not honoring your agreement of why you came here in the first place, because it was you who wanted to come here in the first place, and then you said, well, I can't do it because it's too much for me to deal with. Well, that's exactly why you came here in the first place, is to learn how to get through it, to learn from it, and to grow as a spiritual person, or as a spirit, or a spiritual growth. There we go. So, you know, it's crazy. But we've seen the positive, we've seen the negative. Sometimes it's just the idea of trying to be in the middle about the thing, you know, saying, okay. I mean, I had a friend of mine, actually I had a cousin that died. It was the same age as I was, April, which was kind of crazy because at the time it happened, we were both 26 years old. He was my mom's brother's son, and they had 5 kids, and my mom had 5 kids. The only difference was her brother was older, so their 5 kids, their youngest one was the same age as I was, which I was the oldest one. And then there was something that happened. He got meningitis. And before they get it, and then they found him slumped over in his car. And then I didn't realize it. Even as an adult, they can't. At that time they did anyway. Well, they said they couldn't treat him for what was wrong with him until they found somebody to give him permission to do that. And basically, he sat in the hospital for 3 days and he died. And you kind of look at those situations of things that happen and go, okay, why did it happen? Why did it have to happen that way? But it seemed like the hospitals around that time, because of this happening, they changed their practices and they started doing things differently. Okay, now I guess that was the example I was trying to say. Well, the idea of death has a tendency to make changes in the physical world, where things have a tendency to change and go forward, making life easier for everybody else. But you know, there was a lot of freaking things of soul searching on that one too, because he was the same age as I was. And sometimes people do ask questions, why that person left, why that person passed on, and you're still here. You know, to understand one thing. You know, there is also in the Bible, it says in the Bible, I read this, it said when it comes to death, you should sit there and mourn for the passing person for 30 days, and then you should move on. Because after that, it's all about you and self-indulgence and the ideal of just grieving to the point where it's all about you, not about the person who passed away. So therefore, it works against you. It can actually put you in your life stops. So it's one of those things of understanding that life is both, and even the idea of someone passing on, life goes on to the point where it's saying, well, this person's life ended, as you called it, abruptly. So therefore, make every day count, every minute count. And like I was saying before too, someone said, we don't live forever, so you got to make every minute count. And I say, even if we live forever, we should still make every minute count, because every minute's precious. Really. So what's going on with the situation? And let's see. I was thinking of looking at something else too. I'm gonna go over this thing, but I've been thinking about this idea with numbers and stuff. I know I looked up April's number. I wasn't too sure I actually looked up D's. Like, we're trying to get some insights to things that are going on, right? I was looking at 207. Kind of interesting. But I was sitting on the universe is patting you on the back, applauding the way you've lived on a foundation of prayer and spiritual devotion. Keep up the good work. It seems like a lot of things have been changing in your present situation too, right, Dee?
Yeah, things are looking up. There's still, there's a ways to go because there's still, there hasn't been anybody yet to buy up the property or anything, and so you have to have the backup plan whether I like it or not. But things are looking up because the other night I was, I talked with Cheyenne, then we talked again. We were doing an exchange. We're helping each other. She felt led to her guides or whatever seemed to be leading her to help someone. She figured out it must be me, and I agreed with her. I think we're supposed to help each other. So a lot of things are sort of coming into place, and she's talked about things that are going to happen in my life that, some unexpected, I guess there's going to be some opportunities coming my way that'll be in unexpected ways and things. So we'll just see what's up next.
Yeah, because that was, right way to do it, too. I was just looking up this thing of April, which 919, and it says, devote your entire focus towards serving a spiritual purpose through your career. Interesting, huh? April, you look so serious.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It says, move forward confidently with your career dreams. God is guiding you safely through this passage. Trust in your dreams about your spiritually based career because these ideals are divinely inspired. Which is kind of funny with the situation we were talking about earlier, too. Kind of goes right along with it, don't it?
Yes, it does. My spiritual career.
Now we can just get her work on those sites. She's getting there. Give her a little bit of time. You got until Wednesday, okay? Anyway.
Weird working on the hotline because I usually have to have time to get connected to the person I'm reading. And on the hotline, I feel like I have to give them answers quickly because they're paying by the minute. But at least I'm giving them accurate answers because some of the people on the hotline, they just keep you on the line and talk about just random things and just talk and just keep you on the line and never answer any of your questions.
So you definitely want to make a big difference, don't you? I guess people just legitimate readings and give them some really great insightful answers so they can actually do, change their lives, right?
Yeah, It's a thing that the good psychics answer all your questions in as short of a time as possible. And then the scam artists keep you on the phone for 2 hours without answering any of your questions.
I don't know. Sounds pretty talented to me, man.
Well, that's talented, but it's fraud.
I know. I was sitting here talking, and we won't mention any names of companies or something, but it is amazing that the companies have a tendency to say, you know, qualified, certified psychic, call now, and you get this lady, and she picks it, and you can hear it. So you're a Taurus. A Taurus is stubborn, and they read out of a book, and then they're going, hold up. If you're going to read out a book, at least make it sound colorful. Oh, hi, you're a Taurus, and hey, you know, you're stubborn, you have this little insights and that kind of stuff, and spirituality is your big thing. You know, make it entertaining at least, and then I won't see it as fraud. At least you actually picked a book up and gave me some really, you know, correct information. But I sat there, and there was one lady I was talking to, and she was very convincing because she was saying, she goes, I got to meditate for a couple seconds, and I'm going to give you numbers for the lottery. Okay, so she meditates about 2 minutes on each number, okay, and then sometimes these guys overdo it really quickly, and you can really pay attention, especially if you've ever played the lottery like I have. You actually get your numbers, you put them on a card, you give them to the person, they put them on the computer, and the computer just basically goes and spits you out a freaking ticket. This lady comes across and said, okay, since I gave you the numbers, now I got to put those numbers in order. And I'm sitting there going, goodbye. First of all, you just give me the numbers. I give them to the computer. The computer does everything else for me. I don't know where she was at in the world or if she even knew what she was even doing, if she was just so caught up in the idea of keeping me on the line. But the one thing that I do when I talk to people on the line is I tell them flat out, if you're going to focus on the money, then this reading is going to be a waste of money, because if you're focusing on relationships and that's your question, but in the back of your mind you're saying, okay, he's taking too long. First of all, you can't sit there and tell a person how to do their job. And first of all, when you pay money for services, you're not buying that person, and you have no right to tell them what to do. Okay? If you have guidance that comes to you and says, I want you to cut the cards, you know, in threes, and I want to pick the middle one, that's guidance. I understand that one completely. But never come on the freaking line. I've done this on a random. People come on the freaking thing. I said, I just asked you a question, and I demand an answer. And they get mad because I ignore them. And they're like, why come you can't answer my question? Well, first of all, I don't have to. And second of all, you know, it's like people sit there and get angry with you and say, you're all about the money. You know, when I'm working for a line that charges by the minute and you want to sit there and make me feel guilty for asking for money, I'm just working for a psychic line and getting compensated for what I do, for the time I'm putting into this whole thing, and the energy. But I guarantee you, the information that you get will affect your life for a lifetime. And if I listen to my own advice, it also affected me too as well in the process of walking away with blessings for everyone. And that's how it works. But if you want to sit there and try to dictate how it goes or how it unfolds, you might miss out on a lot of stuff that could have been beneficial, because you're just so preoccupied and say, okay, I have an answer. And if you don't sit there and basically tell me the same thing that I already think I know, then there's something wrong with you and you're not a psychic. When it's one of those things I always tell my clients who I work with in person, that when you come to me to keep an open mind with no expectations and just listen to the information that comes through, and you might just actually see something. But it's really important in the process of letting things unfold naturally instead of pushing everything. We were talking about that before, especially when you got the lady who has the rose bush and she wants the roses now, and she goes out and beats the hell out of the rose bush and she kills it. She just didn't miss the idea of having the roses. She also missed out on the unfolding and the experience and the journey to get there, which are all crucially important. So think about those things. What do you think about that, Dee? Dee, are you there?
I'm right here.
So what do you think about it? Do you think some people have a tendency to be just a little too pushy and controlling when it comes to readings?
Oh, there are people out there like that. Then I, for some reason, I'm reminded of something that I read for twice when I was on LivePerson. The first time I read for her, she gave me a very negative review because they rate you from 1 to 5 stars or whatever. She gave me a very negative review and had her comments to make. Sometime later, she came back, got another reading from me because I did the little thing on, you know, on the line. Read for her again, and that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. So you never know. You're going to find all mm-hmm. kinds of people. And so, and a lot of times with people, they're not, it's not so much about, well, they're up, the pushy people, I suppose, but the, you get those people that they want you to tell them what, you know, what they want to hear or what you think they want to hear. And I'll mm-hmm. never do that. I always give it, I give it straight up. And then you get a bad review because you didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. Well, I don't operate that way. I'm going to give you an honest reading. If you don't want that, then don't come to me because I make it, made it clear in my profile. I don't sugarcoat anything. I'm right up front. I give you what I get. And, you know, if you want anything else, if you want somebody to sugarcoat it and tell you what you want to hear, then don't come to me because I'm not the one for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people out there, because I used to go into the, you know, when I was working for LivePerson, you go into the public boards and you see these people posting, I've been to 5 or 6 or however many psychics, and they've all told me the same thing. Joe's coming back, and it hasn't happened yet. You know, what's mm-hmm. why? And you have to, you know, and I know they're not going to, people like that are not going to hire me because I'm going to tell them the truth. Because he's not, you know, he's not coming back. They told you what you wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the people that say, oh, gee, oh, give me a spell. I need a spell to make so-and-so love me. And I'll comment, I used to comment to some of those people, why do you want to trick somebody into loving you? Because it won't last.
Mm-hmm.
Trick somebody into coming back to you. You know, there's spells you can do that don't involve making some, forcing somebody into something. Because if you interfere with somebody's free will, you've really screwed up everything. Screw up their karma, screw up yourself. It isn't
mm-hmm.
worth it. We have more, it's sad the way people are out there. But some people just say, no, tell me that they want to know something, and if, and I don't know, they just want you to tell them what they want to hear, and that's a sore spot with me because, no, I don't do that.
Right.
I'd rather give them, but people do that all the time. I've had it done to me so many times. After people said, no, they wouldn't do it, I said, no, we don't do that. Yeah, that's exactly what they did. They thought I wanted to hear something I didn't. I want the truth. That's
mm-hmm.
it. If I don't like it, I'll get over it.
That's the truth, too, because I'm getting really irritated with a lot of people out there in this freaking spam and all this kind of stuff where you just want to come going, you know something, buddy? Take the energy and go to the delete button and delete it. Done. Wow. See that? No freaking hassle, no drama. If you're a person to call someone and say, well, this person sent me this email. Okay, how'd it change your life? Well, I had to delete it. Ooh, I bet your thumb hurts. All right. Because I was on Keen, I was working, and so, and I sent out masses of emails for people to call and that kind of stuff, and I've gotten calls from readers, or got emails from readers saying, hey, you're not one of my clients, so quit sending me emails, and all this kind of stuff. So they're going, yeah, you know something? I probably never will be, because of your attitude. They don't realize with that kind of attitude of actually what they're actually, they're alienating people that could have been future clients. Because I'm always looking for somebody I can really trust to sit down and do readings with, you know, that kind of thing. So this person just came across and said, hey, you know, I'm tired of you sending me these emails. I went back and said, dude, are you spiritual? Then delete the damn thing. Okay, just delete it. The reason I get so kind of wild about the whole thing is because when these things happen to me, I don't give it a second thought. I just go, delete, and it's done. And there's this group on Facebook, we won't mention by names, but it is amazing when you sit down and talk to people and work with people and that kind of stuff, exactly what kind of craziness comes back, that you now you see why people don't trust psychics is because of certain, my personal preference on the whole thing is you give readings, you give the message, you let it go, and you let them make their own informative decisions because of what you've given them. But you never sit there and tell them and get angry because they won't listen to you. Now you're falling into more of an ego thing and not what you're really doing. You know, it's kind of crazy. So I was kind of picking up on that, and I just basically kind of mentioned some things about things on this particular group. It was interesting to see these people get very offended, thought people were attacking them, and all kinds of good stuff, when the bottom line was, you know, it wasn't until after some things had said that finally some people came back and gave us predictions and gave us some dates and all this kind of stuff. But it was amazing that they keep saying that they're real and they do know what they're doing and they're connected to spirit, when spirit never even gave them any kind of indications about certain people in the relationship of why certain things were happening. It was more of an emotional thing. It was more of a person's problem. And I did notice that the women psychics had a tendency to blame me, the male, because I was the problem. So I started thinking about the situation. Are we getting psychic impressions? Are we talking to some people who have had some experiences not too good with men in the past, which is coming through their readings? Even if it's readings, it's more of opinions. Where you just want to say, okay. Then there was another thing I was talking about too, that sometimes the idea of psychology, okay. Psychology, I have to debate on that one, if that's actually a good course to go into, to actually go to college and stuff and get psychology. Because psychology is a study of human behavior. It has nothing to do with spiritual behavior. I know we have to sit here and look at one side of the story, but it is amazing how you have certain talented psychics and spiritualists and mediums that when they go to school, they have a tendency to lose one thing. And that's their way of communicating to other people. To actually, when I say communicate, I mean to actually be able to take the information that you've attained, you've learned, you know, the things that you study, and actually convey those to people. So they can actually also learn the same things too with themselves or about themselves. And it's amazing how we have professions of going to school. They don't teach you those kind of things of socializing with people and bring yourself down just a little bit so people can understand you. I used to be a personal trainer for Gold's Gym, and it was amazing. These personal trainers had all this knowledge, but they didn't have a way. They couldn't convey it because they couldn't talk to humans. They talked at them. When you talk at somebody, they don't learn. They're not even open up to the point because they feel like you're trying to force them to do something. But if you can sit there and look at a person and identify with them, talk to them, really be compassionate about really helping that person, then you're more likely to get somewhere. And that's why I always say the schooling, the books, and that kind of stuff, they're a good foundation, but you should never use them solely as a foundation of who you are. You can't take yourself out of the situation. You know, you're relating to other human beings on a spiritual level, so therefore they have to see it also when they look at you, that you reflect what you're also speaking as well. You know, sure, we had some personal trainers that were in good shape and stuff, and they were good with communicating with themselves, I guess. They knew what to do. But when it's time to sit down and say, hello, try to do a bench press. And they just kind of look at him and going, what you need to do is you need to take those quads and that freaking lateralis and begin. And people are going to go, what are you talking about? And when the person says, well, what I said was your lateralis and connected to your, and then what they're saying is we do have simpler words to use for people, okay? Because they didn't go to college to learn this stuff. It's, you know, it's this guy who's working down here at this company and wants to get in shape so he can actually be a little bit better on his feet. And he doesn't want to know what the muscles are all about. He just wants to know what's more effective and actually reaching his goal. And it's the same with spiritual people. I mean, we got people out here right now that are charging. I mean, gosh, I saw this one where it was for life coaching. It was almost $2,500 to $4,000 to work with a coach. And you're like, people who have that kind of money, I don't think they really need coaching, because it seemed like to me they've reached their goals to make that kind of money. I'm sure we all have different levels of spirituality and that kind of stuff too as well. I'm not saying we're not. But I'm just saying that I felt like in the process of talking to this person, there should be a middle and a little bit lower to reach everybody who needs the guidance, who needs the teaching, who needs that guidance, who needs that coach, and to make it more open to everyone, you know? And it just seemed like when I talked to them, I told them this is my my budget, and this is what I get to work with. Can you work with me? And they told me, you know, when you can get to the point of actually, you know, borrowing the money, or maybe a friend can help you out, or maybe you get to the point where you can actually get the money, then contact us and get back with us. See, there was a gap right there where there could have been a whole much more of the situation. I was sitting down going, I can help you. Now, let's work with your budget. This is what you got. Let's find a solution here, a win-win situation of working with these people. I agree with everybody else, too, to ask what you think you're worth. But is it really feasible for someone to charge $4,500 for coaching to a person who's trying to learn everything about it, to get to a point where they can actually be more successful in their own lives of actually creating the life they want? And there has to be a beginning, and it seems like they're at that certain level, so therefore there should be a little more leniency, I guess. Does that make sense, April?
Yeah, because I was actually thinking about going to find, like, centers with people who are suicidal or depressed and, like, offering them free readings, free consultations, free positive thinking and manifestation counseling, so they can feel happier.
Well, it's also, I was going to say was, if there's anybody out there who does do those kind of services and charges, you know, charge these certain kind of prices, but they do have a tendency to give their services away for, you know, at a cost, or to help somebody out and to volunteer their services, you know, I'm sure it does happen. I'm just saying, with things I've worked with, and when we're doing this show right now, we do readings for people and we don't charge them anything. And we know first, and we tell everybody flat out, the show is not free. We put a lot of energy and a lot of work into this thing, and we do pay fees and services for this, to have the show, to actually be able to offer free readings too as well. So it's the idea of looking at the situation. And then when we say the donations, there's nobody twisting anybody's arm and say, hey, donate. I mean, when I say donate, and my sponsor, he came to me and said, you know, if each person donates $25, I'll give them a bottle of body wash. If they donate $35 or more, I'll also give him a bottle of body wash. That's his specifications. That's what he feels like he should do. And I understand that things are the way people do things. More, there's a lot of times it's definitely guidance coming through and saying, you need to do this. You need to put this thing here and there. Of course, I understand that. But I have gone out of my way with a lot of people and sit down and just say, hey, I don't think we need to be charging a lot of big old prices because we're scared we're not going to make the money. I've actually seen psychics and people who do this kind of work look at the person and they walk out the door and going, I want to be the last person that walks through my door, which actually is the person that walking out the door is not the problem or the situation, but it's a little bit of lack in that person's self, that they actually have a worthwhile service that's actually got worth to it, that maybe that's the problem why they don't have any money coming in. Because they don't feel like their services are worth anything. And we always say donations, donate whatever you want. And every donation is really appreciated on what we can actually do with it and the idea of putting more into the show. But, you know, I'm just saying, with some of the things I've seen out there, I mean, I've seen one particular person with her services, you're talking $750 for a reading. You know? I'm sure there's reasons behind that kind of stuff, but it makes it make you think, makes you wonder. You know, some people have a tendency to wonder, am I charging enough? But I say, take a step back. Sit down and work with your angels and your guides and ask yourself, what should I be charging? What should I be putting out there? What should I be helping with people with? And go with your guidance on this whole thing. I mean, is your goal to get rich and be a millionaire? Or is your goal to give a very, very good, in-depth, fantastic reading for somebody, and the idea that the money that you ask for in compensation is just a way of giving back even more, because it enables you to actually give you access, or maybe you feel like you have to have a nice place where you can actually do this kind of work. And then again, I say go talk to your guides and your angels, because they will lead you in the right direction to have all those things happen for you. And if you are in a situation where you're charging $750 or whatever, and you do these fantastic readings and you think you're justified in doing so, then do it. I'm just saying I've touched several people who just do it because they can. You know, they've always said before, right? Because just because you can, sometimes I think we should ask ourselves, did we? Let's see. We also have somebody in the queue. So let's bring them on. Here it goes, 314. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you? Yes.
How are
hi.
You?
How are you
doing? I'm doing fine. Hey. My name is Doris. I'm from St. Louis.
You're where? Say one more time.
I'm from St. Louis. Like St. Louis, Missouri.
You're in Missouri.
Yeah.
Hold on. So you're in Missouri. I thought I recognized the phone number. I used to live in St. Louis.
Okay, that's me. I live in St. Louis.
There you go. Yeah, say hello to April and say hello to Dee.
Hi.
Hi,
hey,
April and Dee.
How are you? Good to have you.
I'm just Doris. I can get Doris Day, okay? Hurrah, hurrah. What else will be? Will be.
The future's not ours to see.
Okay, hurrah.
Okay, I don't like that song.
Exactly.
I don't like that song because it is for us to see or we wouldn't see it. So
well, sometimes we're not supposed to see, but, you know, it's still a good song.
I've actually done readings, too, and I've actually talked to, like, Doreen Virtue and a couple that I've actually talked to her. I read some things she read where she says angels have a tendency to come to you and tell you there's things that you have to say to a person, and then there's other things they say they can't reveal because that person has to hear that and actually experience that experience head on, so therefore they can learn from it. So there's all kinds of different ways. But I've never seen a person come on the site and say, maybe what your problem is you're not supposed to hear the message. I said, okay, if you're actually talking to Spirit, wouldn't Spirit tell you that? Okay. Anyway, so Doris, how can we help you?
I was just wondering my spiritual development for the next couple of weeks, guidance, medical guidance or anything.
Okay. Sorry. Let's see. The one word I keep picking up with you is necessary. It's almost like saying that there are certain things that you know you need to do, and it's very necessary that you follow through with them.
Okay.
You know, it seems like you have answers. You know what you need to do. You know who you are. Now it's just time to follow through with them.
Okay. Yes, I'm
procrastinating.
What's that?
I asked her if she was procrastinating.
I don't know if I'm procrastinating. There's some classes I was going to go to, this development classes, and one is on the 12th, and the other one's later this month. And there was two of them. But I am procrastinating about a couple of things in my life.
This is one of those things, to start looking at the situation and take the word procrastination out and say something. And the word necessary is the one I see the most, but it's also saying that in the process of these things of necessity, it's things that are being awakened within you. And just really, how would you put it? It's like looking at those situations and really getting into them.
Okay.
You know, looking at a situation. I mean, it's like some people have said, okay, I'm claustrophobic. So what they'll do is they'll face that fear by standing in a closet and then analyzing the situation, really immersing themselves into it, and asking themselves, why do I have a problem with this? And they face that fear to the point they start realizing it's an illusion. It's something within them. It's not out there. But that's what's really affecting them the most is out there. And then they start realizing they need to go within themselves and realize it's just an imbalance. So when these things come to the surface, when you find that, you'll also find the solution, and you'll find why you have an imbalance. It's like people sit here talk about, they said they keep attracting guys who have a hard time giving. But there's also an imbalance within her life is because she doesn't feel like receiving is spiritual. So all she focuses on is giving. So she's noticing that she notices the people that don't give, but she's not really paying attention to her lack of balance within her too, because she doesn't open herself up to receiving these things too. And then when she's sitting and corrects the imbalance, then she finds that the people that she thought wasn't giving to her or giving back, it's because she was so focused on giving she didn't see it. And they were. And then she had to regret, and she had to step back and look at those situations again and started saying, okay, those people wasn't bad or mean to me. They were just being who they was, and I needed to learn from that, but learn to the point of finding out things about myself.
Okay.
So are the classes online?
Huh?
Are the classes online?
No. Well, this class is at the Spiritual Church over here on the south side. There was something else I was looking at. I was looking into for some meditation and self-healing online.
Okay, because I was thinking about, like, meditation instead of just reading the meditations to actually do them, like, and try to get some time outside, like, away from the computer, too, and that would help open your crown chakra.
Okay.
But
yeah,
you should definitely look into the meditation classes online because they help a lot with releasing foreign energies in your aura, that it helps your health. Like if you meditate daily, your monthly cycle doesn't hurt anymore. Like it gets shorter and it hurts less. You have less headaches. You can focus better. You have more energy, all sorts of benefits.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I don't know if it's not open, the crown chakra. It might be. I was just saying because my visions are really strong, and I'm just trying to develop them. I have a lot of things coming around me and against me sometimes, and I try to stay in peace and send my love to those things. So, maybe, I don't know, I might be attracting those things to myself, but, or it's still stuff, karmic stuff I'm dealing with.
You
know?
So, if you're getting really strong visions and that kind of stuff, more likely your crown chakra is open. There is a sense with your chakras. The reason you should balance your chakras and align them all the time is because they can get open too much too. When you start getting the really strong visions, or like she was saying, getting headaches and that kind of stuff, your crown chakra could be wide open. And when because we're always talking about balancing these things out, where they all work together.
Okay.
Because in the process of getting visions, the reason you shouldn't have all your chakras balanced out, because like when your crown chakra and your heart chakra can work together to actually get the feeling and analyze it a little more, to actually analyze it and actually see it for what it is, okay? And then you have the third chakra. The chakra comes into play. So therefore, if you're picking something up that has to do with somebody you're with, or maybe you should communicate with them more, the crown chakra, the throat chakra has to be balanced too as well, so you can actually communicate exactly what you're picking up. To get to that person, you can actually sit down and work things out. And then we have the root chakra, which is the idea of grounding, more ground, because we've seen this before with people have generators and that kind of stuff. They always ground the generators, so they're actually more efficient, more effective. It's the same thing with when you pick up visions and that kind of stuff too. The more grounded you are, the more clear are the visions.
Okay.
I'm picking up that instead of like attending the classes at the spiritual church, that you should be teaching them.
Okay.
I mean, I think you could catch on fast. Like you're a fast learner, you could learn online and then teach at the spiritual church that you were thinking about studying it.
Okay.
I think you have a lot of gifts that you're just not aware of.
Also, the situation with the spiritual church is not the idea of denounce or any kind of disrespect. It just seems like, in some sense of the word, that your spiritual development is a whole lot more than what some of the people of the church who claim that they are.
Right. I see that when I was, they surrounded me one time. You know, the second time I was there, they kind of surrounded me. Like, I could tell they was asking me questions. Like I'm looking at them, like you know, I'm looking up and where you come from. I understand that, Mm-hmm. And I just backed off and like walked away.
Yeah, we had the same. We had the same problem too when we saw much like, when we saw much the spiritual group that we had on Facebook, the psychic group we were talking to too. At first we were kind of intimidated by going on there because you know we think, oh, these are guys who are psychics and that kind of stuff, and what if we're wrong? And then we found out that the reason they were kind of like intimidated in some sense of the word because they come across a couple of people who might actually be real in the process of what they were saying, and they do have a tendency to get intimidated or pushy, or like you said before, they disappear. And it's just, these things are pointing out things within ourselves. And say, okay, why would they do that for? Was it because of something I said? Well, probably could be because what you said resonated more than what they were, they just with the ideal expertise because they were thinking to themselves, they had no clue. And then you had your vision, which actually hit it on the head. That intimidates people sometimes. There's people walking around with the ego firmly in place of their abilities and their service and their career they've chosen, but that's been dictating things until someone comes along to say, okay, you need to rethink this. And they don't. And a lot of times they don't rethink it. They just see you as intimidating because now they're thinking they're not worthy of it, but they're going to sit there and try to prove to you that they're not, or that they are. So, you know, like you said before, the guy walks away and he doesn't want to deal with it. So, you know, he had a chance to learn, too. But, you know, one of the things with those situations I can see clearly is that those people cross your path many times until they do learn it. That's why I was getting the impression about how advanced your spiritual ability is.
Okay.
Looking at the situation and being a natural.
I'm trying to tap more into how that I can interpret my business better. That's what I was looking for, because they come in symbolic form, like more like animals and people, or like a mother and child, or elephant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a woman, an Indian woman wearing on top of an elephant, or vision.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the same.
Hindu
guy, Vishnu.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying with those situations, it's sometimes it's just the idea of going and doing research and all those things. But you also like take some time to sit down and work with your own guides. And I saw this with John Holland where he was saying that his angels and his guides would give him certain symbols and stuff. So they actually in the course of meditation, they connected and came up with this thing where he knew, like, when they were throwing roses at him, that meant something had to do with relationships. And they both was like having a conversation with your friend to clarify. Exactly. Okay, you're giving me messages, you're giving me visions, and I just want to get some more insights what these are all about. And sometimes they will lead you to go get some, to go do some research and that kind of stuff, like animal totems and that kind of stuff. So therefore, when they come through, you'll know what it means. Like, there was one talking about an owl and what that means, procrastination or do more research with astrology. I was doing astrology, but then I started looking into Chinese astrology of what an ox was and those kind of things like that, where it gives people more insights, but it also gives you more insights too, that when your guides and angels are giving you those visions, you know what those pictures, because that's what the key is. You know what those visions and those symbols mean to you. That's why they're giving it to you.
Okay.
So you understand it more. So if you don't understand, there's nothing wrong with asking them to give you more clarification.
Okay, I'm going to focus on that. I appreciate all your help.
Very nice. You're welcome.
Anytime.
Okay. One more question. Reggie Macklin is the guy I'm seeing. Do we have, like, some kind of connection together?
What I want to do is I want to go deeper in the connections you guys do have with each other, okay? It's the idea of trying to figure out, because we all come from the same source. We're all connected. So it's the idea of going step, getting away from that whole thing. And you know, we all sit and say, well, I have a connection with this person. But, you know, when I look at the situation, how long have you known him?
It's been over a year.
Okay, have you known him longer than that?
2 years.
Okay, in the process of knowing him, did you know of him before that? Because
no.
I was getting this thing about a 3-year span where you guys, either the thing that came to me was there was a good chance you knew of him, but you never knew him and never talked to him, but he was like at arm's length all the time.
No. I met him at the liquor store one day. I went to get a big bar, and he was at the liquor store. And we just started talking.
Okay. I just want you to do me, I just do one favor, the idea of asking him some questions, too, because I feel like he, if that's the case, I feel like he knew of you before you knew of him. Like you guys were actually crossing paths with each other, that kind of thing.
Okay.
What did you want to say, April?
That I see a good companionship, but not like the romance that you deserve. But it would be really good companionship and friendship and possibly benefits.
Okay.
I can relate to her. She's right off.
That's okay. That's a good one, right?
Yeah, it's really good. You got it on the head. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It happens,
yeah.
Right?
When
you least expect it, somebody hits you around the head, and you're like, whoa, that's just, wow, and everybody knows. It happens. I mean, come on, she asked the question, so.
No, I'm good with it. Believe me, I'm very good with it. And she hit it right on the head. I feel there's no merit, but I do feel the companionship and the benefits. And I do see that. And sometimes I feel that he knew me before, and he's hiding,
mm-hmm.
Not telling me, and that it was almost like pre-planned destiny or something. And that's what I feel from him, basically.
Gotcha.
And I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Just listen.
So some of his attitudes, his pre-planned attitudes have changed in the last few months. And that's what that comes down to. Just some of them, not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'll
so
agree.
That's what I feel. Yeah.
I thought I agree with you.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, and so he's seeing something, his eyes are opening up more than what they were before. You know,
yeah,
so And this is confirmation, you know, because I never said this to anybody about it, but this is how I felt, you know, about that situation. But then sometimes you have to take a leap of faith that eyes will open up to see the truth. So when they get closer to you, they realize, okay, maybe I've been misled, you know, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, no. No, I've had some things, too, where you get close to people and you see things, what they really are. I did a reading for a lady once who said that she was carrying this energy baby that the angels had given to her. And then she asked me this curious question about where she said, have I been deceived?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was so unusual that she would ask the question, because I always feel like when people are asking questions, they've already seen it, and they're just looking for confirmation what they've already picked up on. And when I sit there and told her that it was deception, and even her being deception, having a deception with herself, it really rang true to her, where she has never talked to me since. So, you know, you get a lot of clarification from people very quickly that you hit it right on the head, and they're just not willing to, they're not, at that moment, they're not willing to confront it. And they'll know the more that they show associate with you, they're going to have to.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, that's
exactly.
Where we always, yeah, that's where we get distance in relationships, and particularly with men, where you want to just smack them and strangle them and throw them out the window. But, you know,
right.
Not only above, but it's just frustration that when you look at these people and go, okay, you feel it. See, that's why one thing I've been teaching a lot of women lately is trust your feelings, because your feelings are right, but his actions his actions would make you feel that he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you feel it, so you get confused because, well, I feel this, but he's saying this. Why would he say that if he felt this? And not realizing that he's not willing to face those feelings and stuff just yet. So therefore, that's why you still feel it, and sooner or later he'll start exhibiting on the surface. But it's also the idea of being truthful with yourself too, okay? That's the thing I get the most. With, like I was sitting doing readings, and we were talking about this person was lying to you. But at the same time, I felt like the person was lying to themselves. Is the reason they were sitting there lying to this person, because they just wasn't willing to face that fear just yet. But I feel, you know, so it's one of those things, also looking at a person that, like I agree with April said, that this guy, you know, friends, I guess you would say friends with benefits, but you don't see it going any more than that, because I just don't feel like he's, after you get to know him, that he's actually capable of actually fulfilling your wants, needs, and desires as it is in a romantic sense.
Right. That's true. I got to cut him loose, but somehow at this juncture in my life, he was put in my life for a specific reason, because it was just somehow that I know the time is ending, but he was put in my life to help me over a little hump, and then then it's gonna. That's how that people put in your life for seasons, or what the seasons, or you know, short or long. But he was a short season.
Seasons over years. And then you have to let him go and deal with the tears. Okay.
No tears. I'm good.
And you know, sometimes with a situation, we do have, it's like there's two sides of the story, okay? You can have tears of joy or tears of sadness, but when you look at situations and really look at relationships, like you said, and you realize it, it can still be tears of joy of saying that was a great time of my life, which is also giving me a preview of what's coming. Just because it came to an end doesn't mean you don't keep going on, because you went from that point and you probably grew a lot. So, you know, your perception has changed quite a bit. So, therefore, when you meet the right person, or the one, we shouldn't say the right person, but the one person that you've been really focusing on and the one that you've always envisioned in your mind, that those experiences just really put you in a position of being more prepared for that experience. So it'll be overwhelming, but in a good way.
Right, and I can't wait. I can't wait because I want somebody as spiritual as me to see, kind of see things more than what is in front of them. You know what I'm saying? They can look through the glass. They can see the glass as it presents itself, but they're also looking through the glass. And that's what I'm looking for, you know, so they can relate. We can relate on a more spiritual nature, you know. And that's my desire for my future, if that person comes. If not,
that's just one of the things.
No,
I was just gonna say, with you know, the spiritual and all that kind of stuff is just really is a way of awakening people to realize what your true wants, needs, and desires are, to realize that the spiritual and the physical are on the same plane. They both have wants, needs, and desires. You have a want and a need and desire for a spiritual connection as much as a physical connection, but actually being so caught up in the whole experience of meeting that right person or being that person that they become one, and you don't notice either one of them because you're too busy experiencing it, living it, and having the time of your life.
Right, exactly. I find that it's a beautiful thing when you, because when I go into meditation, there's a white male, I mean, not white, like, you're like Caucasian white, but white like in the color white, and a black female, like in the color black, and they come together in my meditation, they kiss, and then that's when my meditation goes off to another dimension. And it's just like the, okay, I'm in the point where I'm my masculine feminine self are combined and inside of me, and I just want somebody who masculine feminine self is combined inside of them, and that's who can understand that. because symbolic symbols are all around us. Like the symbol, have you seen the Pope's coat of arms? He has that black Moor on his coat of arms, this Pope right here. It's just like that. That's what I see. I see the female. It's kind of like his is kind of like a male, but I see it as that. And there's another Pope, a deceased Pope, who had the white arm and the black arm crossing. And that's what I see in my meditations. So that's symbolic of yourself, your dark and the light self and dark self are combined, become one and not separate. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, I do look at the symbology. I thank y'all for y'all insight. The symbology of things that connect to these different archetypes and these different symbols that really are out there, but they kind of scatter throughout the universe. And they come to me, then I have to go out and look for it. You know, it's just so much that the universe is giving me. And then I call into y'all shows to get more insight, and you have helped me. And your friend, your female counterpart there, she's really hit the nail on the head. So have you.
But okay.
I'm gonna let you go, and thank you for listening.
I was just gonna say that the female counselor is actually that's my girlfriend.
Oh, so you are too. Y'all make a good team.
I have an interpretation of the symbol you said you saw in your meditation. You saw a black and a white like couple kissing, but they were just not the race, but the colors black and white. Well, I have a tarot deck called the Law of Attraction, and the lover's card is actually a black and a white person kissing, but it's just their faces and the way it's shaped. Looks like a yin yang symbol. Like
yes, this is.
And
I'm sorry.
I thought when I got my book right away, and I was like, I want to find this card so I can read it to her. And I opened straight to that page. Like I didn't have to look for the page or anything. I just opened straight to it. And it's the lover's card. And in my book, it means literally the law of attraction. So. The ideal and the real attract each other, but the interpretation isn't usually what you would expect for the lover's card. It just says, it's just a reminder to be optimistic and imagine yourself already having what you want. And focusing on your goals. That's what the symbol means.
Wow. This is, I got chills when you just read it. All over just went, whoop. So that really resonated with me. Okay. All right. Thank you. God, I love you people. I love all of y'all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You have a good evening. Bye bye.
You too. Thank you for calling. Okay. Bye bye now. Where was I? I was actually trying to. Well, we got 36 minutes left in the show. It's 9:23 p.m. here, Mountain Time at Manitou Springs, broadcasting live. It's April 10th. It's April 10th. And if you need any kind of answers or want to sit there and call us and get a reading, just call us at 646-721-9031. Also, just go over information real quickly. We're waiting for you all to call in and tell everybody I do readings. You can contact me at 740-500-8863 or through my Skype number, which is 740-601-9835, or contact me through my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. I have some really great specials going on this month, so give me a call. I'll give you all the lowdowns on those kind of thing. And, for example, I got a 75-minute reading for our listeners. It's only $33.33. And we also have life coaching and relationship counseling sessions that only go for $77.77. And that's really a knockoff on the record prices, because usually they go for $125 for the readings and $135 for the sessions, and we also do group readings and parties too, which we usually charge $150 for those. But for this month, you can get them for $77.77. If you want to be a sponsor for the show, give me a call too. It's only a $40 fee per month to sponsor the show and sponsor us and keep us going. The idea of putting out the message, and we'll do a great job sponsoring you and promoting your product, your services, and you. So give us a call on those. Just give me a call on my private number to get all the lowdown on those things at 740-500-8863. We also want to give a thanks to our sponsor, Richard Palenga, who actually he sponsors our show, and he does a great job, and he has a website called DivineBodyWash.com. And he's saying for all of our listeners out there, if you want to donate to the show, if you donate $25, he'll give you a bottle of his body wash. If you donate $35 or more, he will give you also a bottle of body mist to go with it. So, therefore, jump in there and donate, please.
Sorry,
we appreciate him.
Sorry.
We appreciate all the donations. And plus, those are just specifications by Richard, but you can donate anything you want to the show. We appreciate all donations. And also, we are also looking for more sponsorship, too, so take that consideration and give us a call. Okay, April, tell them how they get a hold of you for your sessions as well on your readings and healings and stuff that you do.
Okay, I do clairvoyant readings, and I can be reached on my website, which is www.aprilangelmedium.com, or my phone, which is 919-600-1904.
Okay, sounds great. And also, me and April also work on a random king, so keep your eyes open and check in from time to time. I guarantee if you find us on there, you'll get a fantastic reading from us on there too as well. They call me Psychic X Journeyman on a random. No, they call me Psychic X Journey on a random, and they call me Psychic X Journeyman on keen. And April, they call you Angel Love, right, on a random?
April Love with one L.
I'm sorry, April Love with one L on a random. And on Keen, it's April Angel Medium.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Also, we have our
co-host. So far, I have 5 stars on both of them.
Good. Five stars for an angel, right? What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, Dee, are you there?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, you finally. Wake up, Donnie. Yeah, I'm here, and I am always okay. Now, I don't have several. Well, I do have several different names, but that's beside the point. If you want a reading from me, well, this is my I'm Spirit Linda Messenger, and if you want my path name, it's Lady Morrigan with an H. But if you want a reading, contact me at 207-374-5072. And for an hour's worth of my time, it's a suggested donation of $60, but that's just a suggested price. I'll work with your budget, get back to you within 24 to 48 hours, and I accept PayPal. And if you're looking for something over the computer, for now we'll just stick with contact me at spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. And if you're interested, and that's an email reading would be a suggested donation of $20. For my jewelry, contact me at the same email address for now, and we'll see what we can work up. My jewelry is made with stone beads. As I said before, I use all different types of beads, including freshwater pearls and turquoise, amethyst, all different jaspers and agates, and ocean jasper is a lovely one, or Picasso jasper. I use stone pendants and sterling silver pendants. I use good Hill Tribes silver from Thailand, handmade by the Hill Tribes people. They have fantastic shapes in their pendants and in their and their beads, all kinds of really great stuff. I'm going to be getting into doing some chakra jewelry, so if you have a specific need you need there, just contact me. We'll see what we can work up, and we'll work out prices and whatever you're interested in. If you're interested in something in the Celtic vein, that's a big thing of mine, or Celtic with a Native American twist, because a lot of Celtic people, Scots, Irish, will have the Native blood too, so it's kind of interesting. Anything, whatever you're looking for, I'm sure we can work something up, and so contact me and see what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Also, I want to give some people information about HemiSync CDs and BrainSync CDs. If you want to take advantage of these things, they're great for actually adding intensity to your meditations. So go to HemiSync. Let's see, it was www.hemi. www.sync.com. And you can also reach them by phone at 1-800-541-2488 or call them straight through at 434-263-8692. Now, the other company, BrainSync, that's the Subliminal CDs. Go check them out, too, because I guarantee you'll be very impressed when you go to the websites. They're really good, I'm telling you. Okay. And that's www.brainsync.com. Contact them at by phone by 1-800-444-SYNC or 1-800-444-7962 or call straight through at 544-488-7870. Also, if you're in here, if you're in the Colorado, Old Colorado City, or Colorado Springs, or Manitou Springs area, and you're looking for a nice metaphysical store to go to, pop into Celebrations. Got nice atmosphere and that kind of things. Please turn your cell phones off as you enter the door because they like to keep that serene atmosphere keep going on. Great senses, great perfume, and they got some great essential oils downstairs too as well. They have two floors, one downstairs, and they also do readings there too. So if you're looking for someone to get some qualified readings, and you're looking for somebody you can actually trust and sit down with you, give you what you're going to go on, they got some great readers down there too. So check them out. Celebrations. That's I wish I could remember the complete address. But it's down on West Colorado Avenue as you're heading toward Manitou Springs, and it's on the left side. There's three yellow buildings, three yellow houses, and just look for the word Celebrations, and you'll see it. So therefore, it's a great place. Check it out. I've been there many times myself, got some nice books, cars, and they really got some great prices, too, down there that you have a tough time walking away from, so give it a shot. What else is I going to – oh, yes, Margaret. Let's see, Margaret Johnson. She works down at this place called Miramont Castle here up in Manitou Springs, off of Ruxton Avenue. It's a great castle. It's been there since 1895. If you want to contact them too, you can contact them by phone just to see what their hours are, and maybe you can make a reservation. I'm not really sure about that or not, but they do have the phone number here, so give a call at 719-685-1011. Again, that's 719-685-1011, or call them at 1-888-685-1011. And Margaret has written a book called Calling All Children, The Seven Magical Tooth Fairies. It's by a lady named Margaret Johnson. And actually, if you go to my webpage, you'll see that I have books recommended on there. This book's not on there, but you can. There are some links on there where you can actually go and you can get this book at Amazon.com and really get a great price on the whole thing. The book itself, it's a good book. And actually, it's based on verses from the Bible to actually back up what she's talking about, where she can actually tell you where to go find them. So check it out. It's a good book. We also have another book we recommend, since it's like we've had a couple months here, nothing but relationships. It's a book called Soulmate Secret. Let me see. It's called The Soulmate Secret, Manifesting the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction by Ariel Ford. It's a really good book. Are you ready for love? Those who find their soulmate through the work will thank Ariel forever. So therefore, also, it's one of those things you also thank yourself for getting the book and checking the whole freaking thing out, okay? Also, this book here is actually on my website, and I actually have a link for it, so you can actually get this at Amazon.com, so you can check it out. I think I got this book for like $4, and it's actually it's almost a $16 book. So you see, you get some great prices. I always have people sitting there saying, hey, you know something? It's $3.99 for shipping and handling. When you get a book for a penny, $3.99 for shipping and handling has a discount and a great thing. And it's the idea of realizing that if you're drawn to getting books and you have this attraction or something's guiding you to do so, then I guarantee the solution, the money, and all these other things that you consider problems will be erased, and you'll be having that book in your hand making a difference and maybe even staring at your soulmate in the face. Okay? So it's because the book is great. It's got some great sayings. It actually even has a prayer in there for manifesting your soulmate. So check that out, too. And we also, I got this the other day. It's by Doring Virtue. It's called Angel Medicine, How to Heal the Body and Mind with the Help of the Angels. This is a great meditation, and for some reason I was drawn to it because someone just told me about these vexings or something that I had around that I need to get rid of. And it's amazing how I started attracting certain CDs of meditations and kind of stuff that could actually help me to heal and to, you know, to heal the body and the mind, to clear out things so there's no more obstruction, so I can actually embrace what's going on in my life right now, as in all these great things that are happening, and embrace everyone and everything. And this is it's by Doreen Virtue, and this is a meditation that she has. It's got two CDs in it. It's called Angel Medicine, How to Heal the Body and Mind with the Help of the Angels. It's got two CDs in there with two meditations, and one is a detailed meditation that she used to do with her seminars of connecting with the ancient crystal temple of Atlantis, and working with crystals and your guardian angels and your chakras and all. It's all in one meditation, so go check it out. I think you can actually get those on Amazon.com too. I haven't checked that out yet, but check it out anyway. She got a lot of good stuff, and it's just one of those things. This meditation can help you out with so many things, of clearing and cutting cords, so therefore you have more productive relationships. You can actually embrace the girl you're with or the guy. Your career, if you need to change things, give you the courage to do so. It's all amazing stuff. So with the situation on that hand, we're going to sit there and go, hop, 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 back to the show. If you want to get a call in here, give us a call at 646-721-9031. And we got 24 minutes. It's now 9:36 p.m. Mountain Time here in Manitou Springs, Colorado, broadcasting live. It is April 10th, 19. I'm way back there, aren't I? It's actually 2012. And if anybody's had any questions about 2012, we can sit here and explain those things to you and help you understand it's an awakening, not a death, and not an ending. In some sense of the word, it is, but it's the ideal that I think some people have misinterpreted this whole thing. And actually, if you sit and watch it, they made many movies, many documentaries, any kind of stuff like that. So you're asking yourself real quickly about the situation. Is it a moneymaker for people to scare the hell out of them? We're here to help you to take that ding down, touch it just a little notch, and say, hey, you know something? 2012 is just I guess you could also say a reawakening. Did anybody ever see the movie 2012? Where they basically at the end of the world was coming, and they realized the planet was being destroyed, and it was basically tearing itself up, it's what it's doing. It's reforming itself, where everything is just going to change. The Earth is still going to be here, and they just had to find a neutral place to be, which was amazingly was in the water, and they actually created these submarines, these huge, humongous submarines. And they put them out there, and it was kind of funny how people have a tendency to exploit even the end of the world to make money. And it was kind of funny how they had you had to buy a passageway on these submarines and that kind of thing. It was amazing. At the end, they finally got their humanity back and seen all the people that were sitting there waiting to get on these things, and they allowed them to get on anyway. They wanted to save as many people as they could in the world, and they changed their mind. When I sit here and look at the situation, the Bible, the Mayas, and all kinds of stuff, they all say one thing. They all say, when you change your thinking, you change your life. In the process of changing your life, you change the world and the course it's going into. So if you focus in a negative way, then you're going to take it into a more negative way, so the destruction of the earth can happen. But if we change our minds and change our focus on the positive, we can actually divert everything to the point where it's going to be falling into place. And even the Bible says that Jesus will come back, of course. And it also says that good and evil will have their battle, and good will win. And Jesus will reign for 1,000 years. Does that sound to you like the world is coming to an end? And it even says in the Bible, it's called the earth and the heavens will be renewed. That's what I was going to say. Renewed. And so, you know, when you start to look at the situation, it doesn't say destruction. It says reformulate. So it makes perfect sense and that kind of stuff. So if you got any questions, you want to call in and ask us and that kind of thing, please do so at 646-721-9031. And if you have a certain kind of a grievance or something like that, say you're reading the spiritual magazine and all of a sudden they started feeding in the fear, and you're having a problem with the magazine anymore because you think it's a contradiction, let's talk about it. So, April, is there any kind of grievances you'd like to bring up too as well? Why do people always have pink phones?
I have a pink phone because I gave the sales rep heck when all I saw was blue and black phones. I was like, I want a pink phone. And I was like, well, I'm going to go to some other place and buy my phone since you don't have pink phones. So he went and dug me out a pink phone.
Are we trying to be different, are we?
She's expressing her femininity, darling.
I have a pink laptop and a pink phone.
She's a woman. She's pink.
I don't know. I'm just asking the question, Dee, because I used to have an ex-fiance.
I know.
Her
You're just busting her chops.
Daughter. I'm just saying. I had this lady that had this daughter who couldn't stand pink, even to the point where we moved into this house, and her bedroom was pink, and we had to repaint it. So it was interesting. Was that, you know, to actually find a girl who she, and that's how I know she liked pink. She just didn't like being, she didn't like pink staring back at her. I don't know what that was all about, but you know, it was kind of amazing when you sit there and think, saying, I just want everybody to get into the point of individuality, where it's like, okay, I like pink because I like pink, not because the world likes pink, you know. And same thing with phones. You never, it's just a lot of fads right now where people have a tendency to go. Because we were talking about this the other day about manifesting things according to what you want, not what the world tells you you want. And how some people are not being effective with manifestation is because they are focusing too much on worldly things in a worldly way, which is contradicting what they're actually trying to do. I want what I want, but the world says, hey, what's up? Once you get to one, everybody's got a blue phone, so you get a blue phone. And it's amazing how people just do that.
Bye.
It's funny, too.
That was
so,
the sheeple.
I'm just saying, you know, when you run into somebody who says, okay, I got a pink phone because that's what I wanted, and I went everywhere until I got it. You know, I was sitting talking to my friend, and I was trying to manifest phones, and they were kind of freaked out because I went on the internet and got this blue Razer phone, and they go, how'd you do that? I said, oh, no, I kind of enjoy the phone, so I don't care how I did it. I just did it. But it was just one of those things. I got a focus board. I got pictures of a blue Razer. I put it on my freaking focus board, and that's what I wanted. You know, I felt like it would be so great to have a phone, even a cell phone, a real cell phone. It could actually increase my business and working with people and just be able to communicate, you know. And I was looking at it that way, how much it would enhance my life. So I did. A lot of times we don't do that. People will sit there and say, okay, I'd like to get this, but I don't think I have the money to get it. And sometimes what you find out is it's not that they don't have the money for it. They're thinking about the money they're going to spend on that phone, and they're thinking about what they're going to not be able to buy later on. So, see, they were focusing on the lack of. At the same time, they were going to get a phone, and that's what worked against them. How come I didn't get the phone? Yeah, I decided to take that money and put it on there. Yeah, but you're still thinking about what you're going to lose, or maybe you wouldn't have the money for the rent or whatever when you got that phone. And that's why it played out. Then they get mad because they bought the phone. And I think it's one of the things to helping people step back and look at the situation and go, okay, it wasn't buying the phone that caused the hardship. It was you and your lack of faith. That when you bought that phone, you should have been really focusing on how it was going to enhance your life and all the money that you put into it. There was so much more behind that, that you would never really be in a position the wants, needs, and desires, because they'd always be fulfilled. And not get mad at people who do have those easy lives, you know, because they have a different perception. It's just the idea of learning from them to change your perception so you can create the same life for yourself. Because realistically, what we're really looking for is an unlimited flow that continuously come to us so we never have any hardships till whenever. You know, it's like I sit there and told a friend of mine, like, used to do that with jobs. I said, okay, I want to work this job for 6 months, but I want to go from this job to another job. And then they were kind of freaked out because that's the way it happened. And then there was one time I was living in Florida. I forgot to do that. I said to him, okay, I want to work this job for 6 months, but I never really specified on the other where to go. And then all of a sudden, there was nowhere to go, and I got laid off in 6 months. I feel like I was good at specifying. A lot of times when we do get into situations of manifestation, we think it's wrong that when we're getting what we want, you know, that that fruitatious period is coming through. We don't realize when it's coming, there's nothing wrong with us to ask for it to continue to come to us. Okay, I got my $1,000 income. And then every week, you just affirm it. You have $1,000 income, $1,000 income. Then expand your mind, okay, $1,000 income. But that was, there was this book by Jerry and Esther Hicks called Anyway, in the book, it's got this one. It's kind of crazy. I can't remember that. I could see the book, you know. But there's a technique in there. What they do is you get yourself a checkbook with a part for deposits and checks. And what you do is you sit there and each day you will give yourself $1,000. So what you do is the first day you give yourself $1,000. What your goal is to spend that $1,000 before the day is over with. So what you do is you deposit it, just like you, this is not real, this is an exercise, okay? So what you do is you get your checkbook out, and there's a part in there where you'll make deposits, right? So what you're going to do is you're going to make a deposit of $1,000, you're going to write it in there. And then what you're going to do is you're going to take checks, and you're going to write checks out for things, and then you're going to try, what your goal is to spend that $1,000 before the day's over with, okay? The next day, you add $1,000, and so on and so on. What you're trying to do is you're expanding. You're sitting there saying you're putting yourself in a situation, in a position to say, okay, this is real. I have this. So since I have this money, what would I do with it if I had $1,000 in my hands right now? Or what would I do if I had $10,000 in my hand right now? You would spend it, and your goal is to spend it. I thought it was kind of funny that I did this technique for a little bit. When I got to $15,000, I was stumped. And, you know. I got to spend this $15,000 in one day. What the technique and the exercise is doing is to expand your mind to realize a lot of people do have a tendency to get money like that in their hands, and it's the way you spend it, invest it, the way you keep that continuous flow in your life. You'll sit, because I was sitting there going, okay, what would I do? Okay. One day, on Wednesday, I gave myself $15,000, so I bought myself a car. It was hard to do because I was going to go. It's amazing how we are trained to go to the car dealership and buy a car on credit, and say, "Well, I got $15,000, so I'll give you $5,000 deposit," and when the car is actually $15,000. Our training, what we've been brought up, we want to pay payments on it. So what this exercise is trying to teach you to do is to expand your mind to realize if you had $15,000 and you wanted to buy a $15,000 car, you could. Because tomorrow, you're going to have $16,000 to blow. And $17,000 and so on and so on. So they're trying to get you, they're training your mind to realize, to get into that flow. And then don't be surprised as you put yourself in that flow, that flow doesn't start coming to you. Like I said before, I got the $20,000. After the first day, I got $15,000, so I bought a car. So I already have a car, right? So the next day, I got $16,000 to spend in one day. I'm sitting there freaking out, going, okay, what do I do? And then I thought about it, like I was sitting here looking at the computer, and I saw this little thing on the side that said planes, trains. And I was sitting there going, I know what I could do. Let's go in here and book me a trip. And I started noticing that these trips don't just have plane tickets. You can actually get a complete package with hotel rooms, plane tickets, rental cars. And so I started going, okay, let's go check it out. And I sit there. It's kind of funny how your angels kick in, too. The angels kicked in and looked at me and go, okay, you're going to buy a trip. And I said, I got a $4,000 trip. I got a hotel room, a plane ticket, and a car rental. And then they told me the car rental was going to be like $100 a day. I said, $100 a day? And all of a sudden the voice came in and said, but you have $16,000 to work with today, and tomorrow you're going to have $17,000 to work with. So what's the problem? It's not a problem. It's a fear that you need to face and say, okay, I got this. Do you know that I've actually seen people who win the lottery who are still making payments on their car or buy a house on credit instead of actually going out and going, okay, and just buying it? those are the people who have a tendency to lose everything because they run, you know, you get the money and everything else, or they get a lump sum. And then they, when everything's done and over with, they're actually more debt afterwards than they was before because they got everything on credit. You started to think what it was, they didn't really sit down and examine exactly what they really wanted to do with their lives, what they really wanted, to the point where it just kind of got out of control. And what they started doing is they started buying things on credit. The reason they bought things on credit is so they could buy more stuff. So it's almost like also it's a way of teaching people to have more substance. You know, when we sit here and ask people to go out and get what you want, we want you to get what you want. And some people get caught up in the whole thing of being in a situation where they've never been able to actually go out and get what they want and to actually fulfill that whole thing about wants, needs, and desires, that they just start buying everything. So maybe you could win the lottery, too, if you just simply got more detail about exactly what would you do with $10,000 or $10 million or $235 million, you know? Because there was actually a technical lady did from the she read on the books, and she said what she did was she said, I won the lottery. I loved it. I won the lottery. And everybody said, how'd you win the lottery? She goes, I went to everywhere I could go and got footage of all the people who had won the lottery. But I watched the films as these people were winning the lottery. I watched how they reacted. I watched what they were doing. And then I changed my visualization and did the same thing. But the visualizations, instead of having the people in it, I put myself in those scenarios. And she said, I think it took about a year, and she won the lottery. It was just her perception of focusing on these things. And then next thing you know, it fell in her lap. Wait, my dad, April?
I'm like, I want to try. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's almost one of those things that's sitting down right now, isn't it? Sitting down and working for about 20, 30 minutes, get a couple of visualizations going on until you're so planted in your mind that you're in anticipation of doing that. But the one thing I always tell everybody else, too, is to get somebody, if you're going to work with somebody, get with somebody you can really trust. When I was in Florida, and me and this girlfriend I had, I said, let's work this thing all together for ourselves, right? And I sit here and said, we're going to tell the kids we won the lottery. So the first thing they're going to do, they're going to tell us all the things they want. See, we're going to add that to the vibration. We're going to bring that vibration up. In the process of bringing it up, all of our vibrations are going to go up. And then we're going to attract the opportunity to win the lottery. And she's like, you think it's going to work? And I felt like it was going to work, right? But she must have got fearful that it was actually going to work to the point where she threw a wrench into it, called mother-in-law, and just put all this stuff in there to keep it from happening. She changed the whole course of it. So, you know, one of those things, I guess it's a learning lesson for everybody that when you do things, sometimes people want to do things on their own. And so it's not the idea of being secretive. It's just the idea of being able to put oneself in a position where nothing else is going to interfere with it. That makes sense, don't it, April?
Yes.
Give us your insights. I mean, if you could sit there and just manifest things, but just speaking just by speaking the words, what would be the first thing you would want to manifest?
Well, I was always taught that it's easier to manifest physical objects than to manifest money. Like, if you want a new car and the car costs $15,000, you should ask for the car instead of asking for the money. Because it's easier to visualize for the unconscious mind, and it opens more outlets to how you're going to get the car. There's more than one way you can get the car.
But can't you do the same thing for money and then also open more avenues to actually manifest the money too? Because a lot of people think about manifesting money, the first thing they think about is they want to get a raise at their job, not realizing somebody could walk up tomorrow and hand you a $50,000. Have you ever seen someone do that?
No.
Have you ever? Okay. Well, guess what? It's happened so many times, it'll be freaking you out, okay? I understand what you're saying, but in the course of manifestation, in the true sense of a lot of the books are all saying now, And actually, what when you sit and focus on the whole thing, and things I've actually seen happen, there was a guy who wanted to manifest $1 million. So what he did was, like you say, it's easier to manifest objects, but realistically, that's what money is. It's the idea of showing you a visualization of you're the magnet, and the dollar, and it's like focusing on what kind of denomination of money would you like, 50s, 100, 10s, 20s, and then you imagine these.
Amen.
You imagine these money things, right? What's like they have metal objects in them, and you're the magnet, and you just start drawing these things to you. I am a mighty money magnet. And then you just get this visualization of money just collecting to you like a person has glue all over them and just fell into a feather factory. And having all this freaking money stuck to you. And it just keeps coming to you every day. It's nonstop, every day.
Well, I agree. It's easier to manifest the money if you actually look at what denomination is on the bill.
Yeah, because the one guy, what he did was, the guy wanted to manifest $1 million. So he went to the store, got paper and pens and markers, scissors, and basically, he basically made $1 million. And then stacked, and then put it on his table. And then he was able to actually have a visualization as a physical object, and he manifested that money for real. Some people have a tendency to go to extremes on their visualization techniques and the tools they want to use of actually creating these things themselves. But we're talking about making money and then using that as a visualization. We're not saying he's counterfeiting. Just to make sure you guys got that in your head. So, guys, we got 3 minutes. Who wants to answer a couple questions? I do. So give us a call here at 646-721-9031. So, Dean, what would be the first thing you'd want to manifest if you could just literally just go, just speak it, and $1 million would flop in your free, whatever it is. What would be the first thing you'd want to sit there and go, manifest it? What would you want to drop at your feet, or what would you want to experience? Wah, wah, wah. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Okay, I said, the mute was on.
Oh.
I said, the first thing I would want to manifest is my house back in my name.
No.
I'm tired of having to jump through somebody's hoops.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
you know, because yeah, I am tired, but I'm not giving up, and I still believe that the miracle is going to happen, that I don't have to move somewhere that I don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to make 50 million little moves before I go where I'm supposed to go. After talking with Cheyenne the other day, it was clear. I mean, she said she got chills when she told me that Eamon was my soulmate, and she was talking about being with him and the fact that she saw money coming from him to me, like he was going to help me with my move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know that I just want, that would be the first thing that I'd want, is to be able to own this house again so I can call the shots, because everybody else seems to be calling the shots in my life, and I'd like to be able to say, I've got control here. You don't need to worry about me. I'm fine.
Yeah. It does feel crazy, but... Well, it seems like we are closing another show, and actually, I have a couple of things that I would like to take care of, too, myself. So on that note, I want to thank April and Dee for being here with me tonight, and for all the people who called in and all the people listening out there. And may God and the angels love you. Well, may God and the angels love you, of course, but also may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day, and give love where love is given. And we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. At 11? No, we won't. We won't talk to you until tomorrow night at 9:30. But also check with us on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at 8 p.m. And Thursday, we'll be here doing 2 hours of reading. So join us in, and we'll talk to you guys all later, and have a good night.
I told you I get that card, half life. You got the
I am Captain Webb of an ancient spell. I'm holding on to life. I'm drifting in a stream.
You
want to
call me on the phone? Like, how do you have a phone?
Everything's much clearer now. We live within a dream and never wait.
I don't care.